what's going on? It is a it's a bit of a depressing Monday. The Rams get spanked last night. Matthew Stafford, what the hell was going on? They lose to the Tennessee Titans at SoFi.
Mace, that was a terrible comparison between the Rams and the Lakers. The Rams are at full strength. The Lakers are operating at 60% capacity.
Well, wait a minute. Von Miller didn't play last night. He's not playing yet. Yeah, he's going to be a force off the edge.
Yeah, but everybody else is healthy for the Rams, right? And they're still, and they're 7-2. Do you think they were going to go 16-1?
No, but I thought, look, I'm at the game,
I didn't think
they'd
lose to the Titans at home.
It was a very depressing night. Mm-hmm. They were favored considerably, and it's disappointing that they lost. And I do think it raises questions about – well, I don't say it raises a question about Matthew Stafford. What I think is it probably eliminates Matthew Stafford from the MVP race because it was Sunday Night Football. Yeah. It was prime time, on TV.
I heard you two guys talking about that on the way up. It's only two guys in the MVP race, and like you said, it's Brady and Lamar, and that's it.
Yeah, probably now. Because everybody else is done. Now, this deals, what you brought up, Mace, deals with this text I got from my friend.
Okay, good.
All right, so it was interesting yesterday that both the Cowboys and Rams were heavily favored and lost at home. They each lost at home. Now, Mace, you've been to SoFi a bunch of times now.
Yes.
SoFi is the most expensive stadium ever built.
$5 billion.
Yeah, before that, it was AT&T Stadium, Jerry World.
Yep.
All right? These are giant, huge. They mean they just scream big event.
Yes.
Okay? And my friend made that point. He said, is it almost a home field disadvantage because these other teams come into town and they see the stage that they're on? And it's like, Michael, when you played for the Lakers, you guys always had a bullseye on you.
Right.
Because when the Lakers came to town, it was a like, have you guys ever been to Jerry World?
Yes.
I've been there. Michael, have you?
No.
It is, I mean, it just, the minute you set in, you're like, oh my God, this is grandiose. This is gigantic. It holds 100,000 people. I was there for a UCLA-Texas football game. It wasn't even sold out. But Mace, didn't you feel when you were there that it was like literally the biggest wonder of the world? It just reeks like you're on Broadway.
It absolutely does. It's crazy.
Now, SoFi has some of that going on, doesn't it?
I mean, it's a show place. I mean, right. I've been to Jerry World and I've been to SoFi Stadium. SoFi Stadium is like Jerry World on steroids. I mean, not stepdad Leo and my brother Travis were there last night for the very first time, and they were just like blown away. Leo's, 80 years old. He's been in God knows how many stadiums. And he said there's just no experience like it.
So, Michael, is there some of that going on that you're always getting the other team's best shot? Because for them, it's their biggest day of the year is coming to your place to play you.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, man. They're in L.A. They're playing against a Super Bowl contender. They're playing in that beautiful palace. You bet that pumps up the road team. That's how it is the Staples Center when they played against Kobe and the Lakers, when they played against us in the Forum. When I was a visitor from Portland coming to L.A. to play against Kareem and those guys in the Forum, oh, yeah, it definitely pumps you up because you are in the spotlight. This is the brightest spotlight in the NBA here is in L.A. against the Lakers. So you actually do get pumped up when you're a visiting player to come play well like Charlotte will be tonight. You got to expect you are going to get their best, and that's how the Rams should approach every Sunday.
Didn't it seem to you that the Titans were the more, for lack of a better word, energetic team on the field last night?
Yes, I thought they were the more aggressive team. I thought their defensive line did a great job of getting after Matthew Stafford. And like I said earlier, I mean, Matthew Stafford had only been sacked 4 times all year long. Last night he was sacked 5 times, 4 in the first
half. And Sunday Night Football plays into it, too. You're the only game on. It's the highest-rated show in America. And there you go.
And the Rams is the glamour team. They're not the champs, but they are the glamour team because they're accumulating all these Hall of Famers. Jalen Ramsey. They got Von Miller now. Matthew Stafford. They got Aaron Donald, the bright lights of L.A. So, yeah, when teams like from Nashville come to town, you know they're going to be pumped up.
So what's wrong with Russell Westbrook, Michael?
Well, like Ireland said, he's trying really hard, trying to make up for the loss of LeBron, trying to continue to play as aggressively as he's always played, and he's just not making shots. Now, he was never Steph or Clay or Kevin Durant when it came to knocking down jump shots. But he's really struggling from the field this year. But, he plays with a lot of energy, and to ask him to change now, you can't ask him to be something he's
not. We can't
not.
Ask him to change. You just got to ask him to – I mean, he's turning the ball over. I think he had 8 turnovers last night. He's not making layups. He's missing on layups. He shot air balls.
If you notice, a lot of guys are missing layups this year because they're getting bumped and the referees are not calling it as tight. Now guys have to adjust to that. Referees have really backed off at contact in the lane this year, which is a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Yeah.
So you think that's part of it?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. He's going to the basket. He's getting bumped. Calls he used to get where they wouldn't count as a shot. Now it's because it's free throws. So he's not getting that call anymore. And guys have got to adjust now to this new contact when they go to the basket and think about making the shots as opposed to worrying about getting fouled.
So go ahead. I was going to mention this. Bill Ryder, who's a really good writer for CBS, did an interview of NBA executives. And
anonymously?
None of, what's that?
Are they all anonymous?
Yeah,
anonymous.
Oh, man, put your name on it. Be a man. Come on.
No, this is you can't. You
anonymous.
Don't put your name.
You know
on
what?
It.
I could write an article that said I did a survey of NBA owners anonymously, and I didn't talk to nobody. Right?
Yeah.
Listen, anybody could do that.
Theoretically. Yeah.
But I mean, do you honestly believe Bill Ryder's making this up? Or do you
I actually know Ryder. Greg
NBA
knows him too. He wouldn't do that.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He absolutely wouldn't do it.
He would do it?
No, he
would
not.
Who would do
would
that? That's such a...
Well, if you're trying to make a name for yourself as a reporter, you could say that. Hey, I talked to
But there are other
players.
Executives that won't say stuff about the Lakers. They won't talk stuff about the Lakers.
Yeah, anonymous.
Because they don't want that out there. But they will talk candidly if they know that they're protected and they're not going to be sourced.
I never trust anonymous sources. Put your name on it.
None of these experts think that the Lakers, none of these executives think that the Lakers will be a top four seed in the West. What do you think?
If they stay healthy,
it's possible. It's possible. Like, I mean, Michael, if LeBron, like Bill Orham has an article out today saying LeBron could be out much longer than a week.
Yeah, right, yeah.
If that's the case, Mace, I could see, I mean, there are a lot of good teams in the West.
Yeah.
I could see Golden State, Utah, Denver, and Phoenix being in 1-4 in some order, and then the Lakers would have. But I don't think anybody wants to play the Lakers in a playoff series if they're healthy.
Right, exactly. I mean, right? You're right, Mace, if LeBron misses a month, no, then they're going to come back to the pack, no question about it.
Back to the pack? They are near the back of the pack.
Well, that's what I mean. They'll stay there because without LeBron, he's that important.
Yeah. So after 10 games, Ireland says there'll be 10-10. Do you agree?
20 games.
Oh, after 20 games. Sorry about that.
Well, I see. They've lost.
No LeBron for some stretch of time.
Yeah, he's got some tough five games coming up starting tonight without LeBron and ailing AD. Who knows?
I just thought they would
be
better.
They upgraded AD, Michael, to probable tonight. I think he's going to play.
He'll play, but is he over his tummy ache?
I mean, we hope so if he's probable. Yeah. Why? What, are you making fun of that?
Huh? Me?
You play through a tummy ache? Is that what you're saying?
No.
You're saying
no.
You would play through a tummy ache?
No, because everybody's
thrown up beforehand in the locker room, according to Frank. You're calling it a tummy ache, and he should have played?
Let's put it this way. I've thrown up not through the mouth, through the other end.
Very delicately put.
Yes, exactly. And he still had to go. But no, I know everybody's different, so I'm not questioning if he could play or not. He probably was really sick, but so I think he's over it. I'm hoping.
Yeah, it sounds like he's probable. Sounds like he's going to be okay. I just thought I thought with Westbrook on the floor, this was the whole idea of getting Westbrook. If LeBron was out or LeBron was load managing, taking some time off because he wants to be fresh for the postseason, I thought Westbrook would be able to deliver with Anthony Davis on the floor, and he just hasn't.
He has for a couple of games. He hasn't done it consistently.
Yeah, they did that win in San Antonio. Yeah. They basically, the two of those guys
I know,
guys
but
put
it's San Antonio, and they took him to overtime.
I know, but you're on the road, and that's not bad, Mace, without LeBron.
As we learned yesterday in the NFL, anybody can beat anybody now.
Yeah.
There's just too much talent out there.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the schedule, they're home to Charlotte, so that's LaMelo Ball tonight. Home to Miami on Wednesday. Miami's 7-2.
That's 2-0 right there.
2-0. Home to Minnesota.
3-0.
That should be a win.
Minnesota's horrible.
Home to San Antonio. That should be a win.
4-0.
Home to Chicago.
5-0. Chicago's good, but 5-0.
5-0. Okay. At Milwaukee.
5-1.
Okay. Oh, you got them losing that.
Yeah.
At Boston.
6-1. Boston stinks.
At Detroit.
Oh, 7-1. I mean, Corona Del Mar could beat Detroit.
At the Knicks.
7-2.
Yeah, got that as a loss. Yeah. And at Indiana.
They could be 8-2 if they stay healthy and Westbrook makes some shots. As simple as that.
Do you have to say that they have a good record because you work for the Lakers?
No.
Do you have to?
Didn't
Are you allowed to say, no, I think they'll go 5-4? Or I think they'll go 4-5?
Mates, ask me that question about what their record's going to be.
Yeah, go through the same
No, games. Well, I don't even have to go through any of them.
All right.
10-0.
Next 10 games, they're going 10-0.
10-0.
10-0.
But you got to keep your credibility.
Are you actually looking at your paycheck while you're saying?
Yes, and I was going to point that out to Michael that he meant to say 10-0.
Oh, come on. Even Jeannie's hoping they go 8-2 over the next 10.
No, Jeannie's hoping they go 10-0.
Okay.
You know what I really like? So I love not being attached to any team. Like I used to do USC football for 10 years. I did their pregame show, and I worked for Pat Hayden and those guys.
They're not going 10-0.
No, they're sure not.
Are you accusing us of not being objective, Mace?
Yes, I am.
Oh, come on.
Of, not being of course I am.
Jeez.
Mace, you don't even have to accuse. I'll admit to it.
Yeah, like I'm not – I'm able to say – Look, I'm able to say the Rams were trash last night. I'm totally fine in saying
the Lakers stunk up in Portland.
Garbage.
You think I'm a homer, Mace?
Yes, I do think you're a homer.
Oh, come on. I try not to come across as a homer. It's not working.
Well, good luck. I heard, by the way, last week I was listening to you and Sliwa, and you were trying to compare the Lakers to wrestlers. And I was like, who the hell remembers these old wrestlers?
The Four Horsemen. Everybody knows the Four Horsemen.
No, I have no clue. I think 10% of the audience knew what the hell you were talking about.
Oh, come on.
10%. No.
Michael, I don't think I can name any of the Four Horsemen.
Oh, Jorge,
I didn't even know there were Four Horsemen.
Jorge, you ever heard of the Four Horsemen?
Nope. Sorry.
And you're a wrestling
I had to
fan.
Guess they're famous wrestlers from.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Ric
I would.
Ric Flair, Arn, and Ole Anderson, and Tully Blanchard of the 80s.
Never. I would. Oh, I've heard of Ric Flair. That's
Ric
the only
Flair.
One I've heard of.
Woo! But the others, no.
Wow. Man, you guys have been living in the...
What year are you living in?
Nice. Oh, you heard
was
of...
Was that like the 60s?
You've heard of Babe Ruth, haven't you? You weren't living
sure.
there. All right, then.
But Michael, what year were they from?
From the 80s. That's when they were really hot.
So 40 years ago.
Woo! Ric Flair.
40
Ric Flair
years
and the whole
ago.
Four Horsemen are timeless. It's like Sandy Koufax and Drysdale. They're timeless.
Yeah, do not put them in the same category.
Hey, by the way, did you guys see Curb last night? Because it reminded me of Mace.
I haven't watched it yet. Don't wreck it.
Oh, okay.
Is there
oh,
a new
yeah.
season
don't
right now?
Don't recommend it.
Yeah,
don't,
yeah they're already three episodes in.
Where have I been?
I think episode two we can talk. I got a question about episode two.
No.
About the dog?
Bergman, we can't.
Yeah, you can talk about things. That state of limitations is 3 days.
Yeah, episode two is out. And it's just a wrinkle in there that I think is so friggin' funny. And I've had two debates about it already.
All right,
we'll do
that
coming
up
for you.
Michael, I'm going to ask you an impossible question, all right?
Yeah.
If you had to cut either Leon or Susie.
Ooh.
Oh, Leon's gone.
No way. Leon's the best.
Oh, Leon's gone.
And Susie and Larry are going at it, man. That is
Leon's
so funny.
Gone.
Yeah.
Oh, Susie's
hilarious.
You have ratty towels, Larry.
Exactly. That's what I want to talk about. That's what I want to talk about. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Are you sure that John Ireland is a bigger upgrade than Ramona?
Depends who you ask.
It does. All right, so we were talking to Michael Thompson's hanging out. So episode two of Curb Your Enthusiasm, I haven't seen last night yet because I was at the game, but episode two was about Larry's towels.
Yeah, it was last night, just reminded me of you. And I'll just give you a hint. It's about a dinner party. That's it.
Okay, about a dinner party.
And it reminded me of you and Mace.
So episode two. Larry's towels. Mm-hmm. So Susie likes to get, Susie Essman, by the way, who's been on my podcast and is fantastic, just really, really funny.
I can't believe you'd get rid of her, Ireland. Are you
no,
kidding me?
I wouldn't get rid of Leon.
Well, you said you would get rid of either her or
That's
Leon.
That's an impossible choice. It's a Sophie's choice. They're the two best supporting characters on the show.
Not for me. Susie's easy, man.
Susie's easy.
Oh, yeah. She's the
Susie,
best.
MF,
yeah,
and
I'm
Larry.
I'm a big
like
Leon fan.
Yeah.
Did you see where Leon had to go to the bathroom last night, Michael, and he said, I got to go drop some boys off at the pool?
Yeah. So, listen, Susie has big, fluffy towels every year. And Larry has old, ratty towels, broken-in towels. You know what? I actually agree with Larry. I don't think you can get yourself dry with fluffy towels.
Well, especially if you buy new towels, you got to wash them before you use them, or else you just end up with a bunch of fuzz all over you.
Yeah, I'm with Larry. I'm for the ratty. I think our towels are very well used and broken in, and I've got no problem with it. I don't think fluffy towels dry you the way old ratty towels do. Like, so I'm with Larry on that.
You mean towels are like kind of frayed and got maybe some holes in them?
Not necessarily that far, but, you know, broken in. Yeah. I like the towels when they're broken in. It's easier to dry yourself as opposed there was to new, fluffy towels.
In that same episode you're talking about, Mace, there was an interesting dilemma. So Jeff Garland, Larry's manager, had an affair with a dental assistant.
Yes.
The dental assistant claimed that she got pregnant and told Jeff, you need to pay, you know, I need to take care of this pregnancy. You need to pay for it. And Jeff said, okay, I'll pay you whatever you need. Then she started, like, buying jewelry and going on a lot of vacations.
Yes.
And he sent Larry in there to figure out if she's making it up, like if she made up the story about being pregnant. How could you, if you're in Jeff's position there, how could you demand proof? Like, do you actually ask for a piece of paper that has a positive pregnancy test?
Pregnancy test?
Or proof of
a
termination? What do you do?
Yeah. No, it's a tricky one. I personally, did we ever find out? I'm trying to think. I think spending all that money, I don't think she was pregnant. Do you?
No. I think he got played.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's a great show, though.
It's the best. That and Succession are...
I'm watching that, Succession, Morning Show.
How far are you on Morning Show?
I now know who's dead and alive. Let me put it that
way. Okay, there you go. Yeah. There you go. It's a big... It comes as a big surprise, I think. A big surprise. All right. So... What was that? We're changing the subject. So the Neil O'Shea story is a really interesting one, John.
Okay, so Neil O'Shea is the general manager of the Portland Trailblazers. And he's been the general manager up there for about 10 years. He got the job in 2000. Before that, he was the GM of the Clippers.
Yep.
Jason Quick, who covers the Blazers, he was at the Oregonian for a lot of years. Now he's at the Athletic, has written an article, and he's gotten in a lot of arguments with O'Shea. And he's basically written an article that suggests the reason O'Shea is under investigation, is that he's got a really bad temper. That's it. There doesn't appear to be anything other than, like, there's not a, like, sexual harassment charge.
Nope.
There's not, like, stealing money from the company. There's not an incompetency issue. It's basically that he is very, very quick-tempered. Here's my question. Is there a place for a bad temper in the workplace in America anymore? So in other words, you're not doing anything morally wrong other than you're yelling at people. You're losing your cool with people that make mistakes.
Right. We have a name for that. And this is in the article. He rants off and he has little patience for incompetence. Catch him at the wrong time. And all three of these traits can manifest in red-faced, vein-popping tornado of anger. He'll talk to you however he wants and treat you however he wants. People literally avoid walking his way in the office, a former employee said. There's a difference between having a quick temper and creating a hostile workplace. You're not allowed to berate employees anymore. And it sounds like that's what Neil O'Shea is doing. He's berating employees.
You can berate them if you want to, because if you're the boss, but you'll create, a bad working conditions and nobody would want to, and you won't have productive employees. You can berate them as long as you don't, use racial epithets and stuff. But if you just want to yell at them, you can do that, Mason.
No, you can't.
Michael, that's what we're discussing. Yeah. Is there a place for, and what makes it interesting is in sports, you almost have to allow for it because sports is competitive, and that's how you get people's attention is by yelling at them.
Well, and not in the front office. I'm with Mace on this one. If I had a GM and he was treating my staff that way, if I was the owner, I'd get rid of him because I'd want people to treat me. Even though I'm the owner, I would treat people the way I'd want to be treated. So if I got a boss who's treating people I mean, disrespecting my other employees, I'll get rid of them.
But is that fireable offense?
Yeah, I think so.
So would you fire Greg Popovich for lighting people up?
Well, we don't know if he lights people up behind the scenes.
Right.
Mace,
it isn't even behind the scenes. Michael and I see him do it out in the open.
Well, he does that to his players.
No, the question is he that way with his personal assistant?
No, I've heard
that way with the lady who sells the tickets?
Well, he's that way with the media.
Right, is that? But I mean, I think that's a gag.
Yeah, it's grumpy.
I think that's a gag.
Right, he's just grumpy. But I heard but he's really
does
nice.
Does he treat people with respect in the office?
I've heard
and
he does.
I've never heard anything to the contrary.
Right. He just lights up his players.
It's interesting because Robert Sarver has had, the guy who owns the Suns, has had the same temper as Olshay. But what finally got him was when he was accused of using the N-word, when he's accused of being a racist.
Right.
That's what finally got him in trouble. But all the other stuff, the yelling at people and berating people and stuff like that, they just let it go because he's the owner.
Yeah.
If our boss, whether that be, you know, Amanda, mm-hmm. Boss Amanda, or Scott McCarthy, who's in a general manager, if they berated me, I would absolutely be offended. I don't know if I wouldn't go to HR and all that. I'm just not that guy.
Yeah, you wouldn't like it, of course.
But I would fight. I would fight back.
Right, but here's the question. Somebody did go to HR in Portland.
Yeah, multiple people. There's
and
an
now there is an investigation. But is there no place in 2021 for a temper in the workplace?
I don't think so, because people want to be respected. Now, we're not talking about the really bad stuff, you know, using racial epithets and sexual harassment.
No, in my scenario, the only thing that's wrong with this person is that they are quick-tempered.
Right, yeah.
Now, that you're simplifying. It's not just that they're quick-tempered. It's that, according to the people that he interviewed, he's berating employees.
Yeah. Well, that's part
of
having a temper.
That's different than just having a quick temper. You can't diminish or say bad things to somebody's face.
Mace, after, and what makes it harder is because we're talking about sports. After Matthew Stafford threw that interception,
yes,
if he would have come to the sidelines, and let's say Woody Hayes was his coach,
and
Woody Hayes said, "Stafford, you cannot throw that interception. A high school kid wouldn't throw that. You idiot. I can't believe you did that. You realize you just cost our team, the whole team, everybody here, you just screwed us. That pass can't happen. Go sit on the bench and think about what you just did. You idiot."
I would argue that a coaching situation with a player is different than your personal assistant or the manager of ticket operations.
But is it different than a GM? Who's also in a competitive world of sports.
Let's say he spoke to a lady like that who messed up a report, and he talked to her that way. I mean, he's a jerk. But if you want to fire him for that, then you have a right to. But that's not like the other stuff.
Well, part of this story, Michael, said in 2017 at a home game against Washington, Olshay stormed the court and went after referees in a profanity-laced tirade after they missed Markieff Morris stepping out of bounds on his way to making a game-winning jumper.
Yeah.
Is that a disciplinary offense?
The NBA can fine him. They definitely can.
But should it cost him his – if there are many more incidents like that, should it cost him his
job? Yeah, I think so. If he keeps berating officials and attacking officials like that and embarrassing the organization, you could lose your job.
Charles Freeman, who's one of our really good listeners, really smart guy, tweets this. What Olshay is being accused of simply can't be allowed in corporate America anymore.
Well, that was my question, what Charles is getting at. Yeah.
You're telling me if Boss Amanda or Scott McCarthy berated you, you would be okay with it?
Well, Roy Laughlin used to do it.
No, nobody's okay with it, Mace. We'd all be offended or upset.
I mean, I got mad about it, but I didn't I didn't do anything about it.
What are you throwing Roy Laughlin under the bus?
No, he once told me to get the F out of a room I walked into.
That's disrespectful.
And he apologized for it later.
Yeah,
he walked in and he goes, I shouldn't have done that, blah, blah, blah.
You want nobody
to
talk
to. And I don't want to say bad things about Roy Laughlin. He's probably working out there somewhere, and maybe he'll hire me again. So I will defend Roy.
No, we're fine.
Fantastic guy.
Yeah, we're fine. But I'm just saying that I think it happens in most workplaces. It's interesting that it looks like it might cost Olshay.
Wait a minute. I don't think it happens in most workplaces. I don't think bosses berate employees in most workplaces.
Not in most. And some, I'm sure, but not in most.
Maybe it's just the places I've worked. Like in TV news, it happens all the time.
News directors berate employees.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
All the time.
And you wouldn't – and by the way, you wouldn't have much recourse other than to just do better the next time.
Nobody would berate Jim Hill.
No, God, no. He would do the berating.
That's right.
No, he would not berate anybody.
Yeah, I've never
except
seen
for
Jim
Beto.
Berate
I'm
anybody.
Sure he berates Beto.
Oh, yeah, Beto deserves it.
Yeah, Beto's got it coming. Right. He's got it coming.
That's right.
You
could be a jerk and as a boss, but you know that's going to ruin employee morale, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's not a good environment to work. People are leaving. If talented people are leaving your organization because of the environment, it's not good for the company.
Then you
it's not
go.
Good for. Yeah, you gotta go.
Yeah,
exactly. Ireland, you think gotta go?
I think he's not going to survive it. I think that once that details like this come out, it's almost impossible to keep him.
Was he? Yeah, if he was disrespecting female employees and other
employees.
Well, it doesn't say that. It makes no reference of gender in this article, but it does say that.
Sounds like he was an equal opportunity offender.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next for you, Jorge regularly eats something that is absolutely disgusting. I'm going to tell you what that is coming up next.
I find that hard to believe.
Also, don't forget John Ireland's lie of the day. It is Million Dollar Monday. Million Dollar Monday. And if you can identify John Ireland's lie at 3:30 today, you will win Rams tickets. You will win a Vote for Jorge t-shirt. And you get a crack at $1 million. This isn't like a national contest, nothing like that. This is us potentially giving away $1 million. We'll do that at 3:30 today. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Think about what you just did. You idiot!
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Things you don't normally hear on the radio. Oh, you are bleeding. All right, so Wednesday, we are going to be live at Bastards Canteen, which is a veteran-owned and operated restaurant, biggest event of the year, downtown Downey. They close off the streets between 2nd and 3rd Avenue. Bastards Canteen is on Downey Avenue, 11045. So between 2nd and 3rd, it will be shut down. Live music, 21 plus, beer garden, exclusive Bastard menu at Bastards Canteen, and we will be celebrating our Marines, our veterans, and our community. That is Wednesday. We'll be live from 1255 to 4, and then Sedano and Cap will be live until 5:30. That's Wednesday night. Leading into Lakers versus the Miami Heat at Bastards Canteen. All right, I'm going to make a Mythical Money bet. You ready?
Yeah.
20,000 Mythical Dollars.
Wow, big one.
20,000. The over-under for tonight's Bears-Steelers game is 39.5, which I think is way too low. So give me 20,000 Mythical Dollars on over the 39.5. Gotta bet big.
I like that bet. Now, did you
39.5 is like 18, 19, 17.
Where are they playing?
They're playing in Pittsburgh.
Did you check the weather?
I didn't. I still think no matter what, I think they're don't you think 39.5? That's good. That's one of the lowest totals I've seen all year.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, Pittsburgh doesn't score a lot.
They also don't give up a lot of points.
Chicago.
Justin Fields, I think, is underrated from what I can tell.
Based on what?
Matt Nagy's back.
No, he can run. I like that.
Yeah,
I like that he can run.
Unfortunately for you, Matt Nagy got off the COVID list.
MT, what do you think? Justin Fields.
Tonight against the
Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers.
The old man. I don't know. I don't trust those Bears because they don't use Justin Fields right. They keep him in the pocket too much. They don't let him use his legs enough. He's almost as good as Lamar in the open field. He needs to run more. At least put him in some rolling pockets. Let him have a choice for pass run options because he's so good when the defense has his back to him and he just peels off 10 yards easily.
Yeah, he is a great rusher.
Yeah,
he's
really
a great rusher.
Yeah, and so I don't trust that the play calling of the Bears. They're still stuck in the 50s.
But I think they can score more than 39.5.
Who, the Bears?
Oh,
you
no,
the
whole
game.
Yeah, maybe. No, it's gonna be a slugfest tonight. It's gonna be like 17-13, something like that.
Oh, Mace, you'd be dead.
Yeah, I would be dead if it's 17-13.
I like you putting it out there though.
That's 31. Yeah, 20,000 Mythical. By the way, Jorge, who, you know, at the beginning of the year, our football season, said, I have no interest in gambling. I'm not a gambler.
Yeah, we've turned him into a degenerate.
You are now an official degenerate, Jorge.
For real, yeah, really.
You're rolling out some bets.
You're wasting your kids' money.
Well, mythical money.
Well,
it's not real.
You could retire. You could mythically retire on that mythical money.
All right, how about this? Mexico, USA this weekend on Friday, $30,000 on Mexico.
Oh, they always USA. Big deal. Wow. They always win.
And I'm taking
betting
USA.
Betting against your own country.
No, he's betting with
no,
his country.
Jorge's no, Jorge's betting. He's Mexican-American.
No, he's a United States citizen.
Yeah, but he's more Mexican.
Oh, jeez.
It's all right. Nothing wrong with that.
See,
that's right.
And Bergman, what are you betting?
I'm doing the 30K. It's a vet versus me and Jorge. I got 30K on USA, and he's got 30K on Mexico.
Wow.
USA won last time, by the way. They won 1-0.
That is a big bet. Meanwhile, Ireland's doing.
Where's the game?
Parlay,
in Mexico?
$2,500 mythical dollars on Miami and.
Hey, according Kellerman said on his show, Mace, that he thinks the final score tonight is going to be 14-10.
Yeah, it's going to be
a score. I don't believe anything Kellerman says. I beat him in DraftKings this weekend.
Hey, you know what, John? You have not bet very much this year.
Yeah, you're not really a better.
I'm a little upset by it.
All right, I'll change it this weekend. Michael will back me up on this. We got back so late on Saturday. We have a game. We have a Laker game every other day for a month and a half.
Yep.
There isn't a break. I was looking for a 2-day break to get that COVID booster.
And me too. To get my colonoscopy. I couldn't get it.
Yeah, I finally gave up. I just said I'm going to do it on a 1-day break, and if I get
you're going to get sick, mate, Ireland.
I know. Well, it'll be Friday because I'm getting my booster Thursday.
Yeah, you're gonna feel like
but
crap.
But, Michael, we don't have any days off.
I know.
So I just haven't had time to bet, but I'll find time and make some bets this weekend.
Okay, give me $10,000 mythical dollars on the Lakers minus 2.5 against Charlotte tonight.
Hey, by the way,
$10,000
with no LeBron.
$10,000, oh, yeah, boy. With no LeBron. I think tonight's the night Russell Westbrook starts playing like Russell Westbrook.
By the way, have you guys talk about someone who's playing over his head or playing great? Have you guys seen Gary Payton the second play lately?
Yeah,
I have not.
Good for him.
His father is known as the Glove, so should we call him the Mitt?
The mitt.
Or the mitten? Or the oven mitt?
The oven mitt, I like.
Because he is hot right now.
Yeah, and the Warriors, Michael, are surprisingly good.
Yeah,
they are good.
They move the ball. They play good D&T.
You know, that's interesting, Michael. They've got the best defensive efficiency in the NBA right now.
How about that, huh? They got a bunch of guys all the same size, and they all switch. Makes it difficult to score on them. So they're good. They're for real.
And when's Clay come back?
Oh, sometime in late December, we're hoping.
Look out, man.
Yeah, he's upping.
Look out.
He's not going on this road trip, they announced, because he's going to stay behind and up his workout regimen even more and get more and more intense to get him closer to getting back. So,
Michael, did you see that the Milwaukee Bucks today visited the White House?
Yeah, I saw that.
Now, Michael and I have been to the White House. What do you remember about that more than anything else, Mike?
Well, geez, so many memories. All the security you got to go through, of course.
Yeah, sure.
And
matter of fact, Mike, I don't know if you remember this. I went in early so I could do the tour with all of you guys. And then I had to do live shots for Channel 2 and Channel 9. And I said, I just got to walk over there like 15 feet to my right where the press pool was. And the guy goes, if you're going to do that, we got to take you outside and bring you back in again.
Wow.
Just because you're under a different classification.
Yeah.
And so I did it. But what I always remember is Barack Obama walking up to Khloe Kardashian, who at the time was married to Lamar Odom, and saying, Khloe, I'm Barack. It's a pleasure to meet you. My girls watch your show every week. I tell them not to, but they watch anyway. And Khloe, and Ty Nowell has a picture of this, of Khloe shaking hands with the president.
It's kind of cool going to that house because I wonder if Lincoln was in this room, you know?
Right.
It's so old. And have you ever been to the
White
House?
You didn't get to go to the Oval Office, did
you? No, they take the players down there. They don't take us.
The players did get to go to the Oval Office?
Yeah, when Clay went with Obama when he was there, and he got to go in the Oval Office and take pictures with him and stuff. That was pretty cool.
Oh, that's got to be
cool. So they only take the players. They don't take the regular staff and stuff like that.
Did you get to go to the Lincoln bedroom?
No, you can't go upstairs.
No, we were not allowed to go to the second floor. No, we could stand at the bottom of the staircase.
Yeah, but
that was it.
And you notice how clean it is, not a speck of dust anywhere.
Oh, I can't imagine, yeah.
Just like
did Obama order any food while he was there?
Because
normally presidents can order anything they want and they'll be delivered. Have an oatmeal raisin cookie.
They see the latest movies that come out.
Mason, you do that. It's just called,
Grubhub.
Yeah.
Postmates.
Yeah,
that's right.
Peanut butter cups.
Peanut butter cups. Postmates.
Don't you ever cook? Don't you cook, Mace?
No.
You can't cook?
No, I choose not to.
The other day I caught Michael watching a cooking show.
Oh, yeah, man. Cooking is fun.
I watch cooking shows. I just don't cook. What, like, I know what – because I watch cooking shows, I know what an amuse-bouche is. Do you know what an amuse-bouche is?
No, what
is
that?
It's something that you give a person a taste of to cleanse their palate before
Right,
the
it's
meal.
Just a little taste beforehand. I know what a hash is. A hash is when you just chop a bunch of stuff up and you put a little dressing on it. And it's such a cop-out on those cooking shows because they're always like, I've got to use six ingredients. I'll just turn this into a hash.
What about Jose? Does he cook?
Javier?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no. We choose not to cook. We get great food from a place called NutriFit. Just unsolicited plug.
You won't even make yourself a salad?
No.
Oh, jeez.
No.
It all comes to liver. You won't even eat a salad.
It all, yeah, mix in a salad.
You are
exactly.
Lazy. You are lazy, Mace.
Yeah, I'm lazy. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. All right, coming up next for you is jump ball.
What does Juan see in you? You don't
cook,
or you're grumpy. All you do is get high.
What do you mean I'm grumpy?
Around the house.
Wait,
edgy. You're always edgy.
Wait, is that the greatest response ever to you're grumpy? What do you mean I'm grumpy?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm never grumpy. I'm always a happy-go-lucky kind of guy.
Do you at least clean up?
No.
No, it's God. Not my – I'm the guy that talks on the radio.
You're like
That's
the world's
job.
Worst roommate.
Yeah. All
he
right,
has pocket personality, Michael.
I guess so. Ooh, that's
exactly,
what it is.
Exactly. All right, coming up next for you is jump ball. Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. I don't think Ireland has lied yet. It's my personal opinion.
I think he has. I think he's got – I got two down.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay. If you think you know Ireland's lie, 3:30, you want to make sure you call in for a chance to win Rams tickets – a chance to win a Vote for Jorge t-shirt, and you qualify to win $1 million from 710 ESPN by giving us the two Super Bowl teams and the final score. That's 1 hour from right now, about 50 minutes from right now. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thank you very much, Chris. All right, so did you guys know that the gold gloves were given out yesterday?
I glanced by it, but I didn't really look.
So, anyway, the Dodgers didn't win any this year, and they really didn't deserve to any
no,
of them.
No, they really didn't. It was not a good defensive
Are
team.
Are they real gold gloves? Solid gold?
Yeah, solid gold, Michael. Wow. They're solid
mm-hmm.
gold.
Man. So, if you're trying to grow the sport, why in the world did Rob Manfred have the announcements happen in the middle of an NFL Sunday?
Because nobody cares who gets a gold glove.
Huh. Yeah, but if you're Greg's right. If you're running Major League Baseball, you have to care.
Yes.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want it to have...
A
day to live. I mean, baseball fans care. But
yeah,
why?
I would have
but everything gets lost on an NFL Sunday.
So what do you want, Greg? You want to have like a show?
No, they can have a show, but they don't have to. At least announce it when people actually see it. Not in the middle of an NFL Sunday where Twitter is just full of what's happening with the Steelers, what's happening with the
Rams.
Yeah,
I would have announced them on a Tuesday morning.
Yes, agreed.
I don't know why they did that. I'm with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I don't know why they did
it
either.
It makes little or no sense.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's one of many stupid decisions that Rob Manfred makes. He makes more stupid decisions than any commissioner in sports.
Just I don't think baseball fans care about who wins the Gold Glove.
No, I mean I think it lives. They've got their whole network. They could do a show devoted to it. MLB Network should do a show where they reveal who won the Gold Gloves.
Do they even
that way
care?
Baseball fans who watch it.
Okay, who's going to win the Silver Slugger? Do you even care?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's still
sure.
the same thing as the Golden
yeah.
Gloves.
Who's going to win?
Give it a day to live. Give it a day
who's
to breathe.
Who's going
to
win it this year, Greg? Nobody knows baseball like you. Who's going to win it this
I mean,
year?
It just depends on the position. There's a lot of different positions.
I thought it goes to the best hitter.
No, every position gets its own.
Yeah, you get one for the catcher, for the first baseman, second baseman, and so
like,
on.
I know Julio Urias wants to win it for pitcher.
Right. Probably
He's
will,
He's been
too.
Competing all year long. I think he might win it for Silver Slugger for pitchers. But, yeah, no, one goes to each position, Michael.
Why don't they call it the Golden Slugger? It's the Golden Gloves.
Gold
yeah, they've
gloves,
already got
silver,
the Gold
slugger.
Gloves.
It doesn't compute.
Golden Slugger?
Yeah, no, they've already got the Gold Gloves. Why would they want a Golden...
You're like, I'm done with this question. All right, so immortality is something that both you, Steve, and John have talked about wanting to obtain at some point.
Yes.
Well, there is an immortal animal. Did you know that? That there was an immortal animal?
No such thing.
There is.
Lives forever.
Yes. So maybe you can... it's a...
What, a plant?
No, it is an animal. It is a Turritopsis dornei, or a jellyfish.
A jellyfish lives forever?
The immortal jellyfish, as it's also known as, has a full life cycle and then returns to its egg state and starts all over.
What?
Did you know? So you obviously didn't know about the eternal jellyfish.
No, I've never heard
this
before.
Would you like to live forever as a floating blob of jelly?
Oh, no.
Well, not as a floating blob of jelly, but I would like to live forever. Like I've often said, I think someday people will live on hard drives. Like I think people will find a way to extend their lives by becoming digital, right? So in other words,
holograms.
In other words, they'll take every single thing that we've ever said on the air, and they will put it together, and then long after me and John are gone, there will still be a Mason and Ireland show spit out of a computer every day. To me, that makes perfect sense.
Well, you're grumpy. All you do is get high.
What do you mean, I'm not grumpy?
I'm not grumpy!
You know what? You know who might live as a floating ball of jelly forever? Zion Williamson.
Zion!
if you don't stop eating.
Ball of jelly.
My goodness, man. Kid. Mixing a salad. Jeez.
He is really blowing up, isn't he?
Look up immortal jellyfish. It is absolutely a real thing.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. All right, Jorge, what you got?
All right, so TMZ caught up with Ron Artest III, and he said that one day Kobe Bryant gave him a game-worn pair of shoes, and he actually tore them up playing basketball. Oh. What is your take on wearing memorabilia like that? Like, should you wear it, or should you just put it away? What do you think?
I do not own any memorabilia.
Don't you wish you did?
No. Michael, do you have any of your old jerseys or old
I got
anything?
My old jerseys. I got Magic jerseys. I got Kareem's goggles. So I'm sure I can get a pretty penny for those.
Yeah. The only thing I bought an autographed Shaq and Kobe basketball on a mini basketball at an auction that's in my son's room. And he's got that. But that's
I had
it.
A Muhammad Ali dollar when I was 13. He signed for me in New York, and I spent it.
Oh.
So somebody's got that. You think that dollar's still
so
in circulation?
So wait, you got a set of Kareem's goggles?
Yeah.
That's very valuable.
The last,
man.
I think the last pair he wore when he retired.
No!
Yeah, he retired that day. He put it on his chair, and I said, well, he won't need these anymore.
That's unbelievably valuable.
Michael, you could probably sell those for a pretty penny.
How much do you think I could get for them?
I don't know. We could call David Kohler, the guy who has the Lakers shrine down in Orange County. Yeah.
I think probably at least $100,000.
No.
You don't think so, Ireland? You don't think it's more than that?
I'll text Kohler right now and ask him.
Okay.
I don't.
Tell him my price is $1 million.
Yeah, I don't know. $100,000 sounds high, Mace.
It doesn't sound high to me. No. Last pair of goggles for the leading scorer in the history of the NBA.
I mean, Michael Jordan's sneakers the other day got a couple million bucks, right?
Yeah, Jordan sneakers go for $1 million all the time. Yeah.
His boxers sold for how much? $250,000 or something?
Soiled.
Yeah.
Soiled. So gross. All right, so dirty plays in sports happen all the time, but Patriots quarterback Mac Jones did something yesterday that was pretty blatantly dirty. And not flagged, by the way. Did not get a flag. After D lineman Brian Burns strip-sacked Jones, Jones held the ankle of Burns while he was running to go after the loose football. Burns ended up twisting around and now has a sprained ankle. What should the NFL do to Jones? Fine? Suspension?
Nothing. He didn't mean to hurt him. He was just holding him so he won't get to the loose ball. He wasn't trying to, like, twist it on purpose. You think he was, George?
Yeah, there's a video. I'll send you the video.
The video does not look good, Mike.
The video looks terrible.
Well, he's probably trying to stop him from getting away, and the guy probably turned his body, right?
You don't grab an athlete's foot.
Sure you do. By any means necessary, try to stop him from getting to the ball.
It's not wrestling,
Michael.
Well,
why twist it?
Well, but did he twist his body trying to get away, and this caused his ankle to twist?
I'll send you the video.
All right. I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd suspend him, but I'd fine him.
Yeah, I'd find him. There's no question that he did. It was definitely.
He looked like he put him in Daniel Bryan's ankle lock. You know who Daniel Bryan is, don't you?
Oh, of course. No.
He's a wrestler.
Yeah, I figured.
And that's his go-to move, the ankle lock.
Yeah.
Is that from 1975?
No, that's from now.
Is that in the 60s?
Jeez. He's a wrestler right now. Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a Twitter account for a film company called A24 Films, at A24 Films _ is the account. They posted the other day, we're looking for some tweets to turn into movies. Just that. So what would you each put to create a brand new movie? No sequels or remakes.
A tweet? Off your tweet?
Yeah.
Hashtag vote for Jorge.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
So you already saw that, though, in Napoleon Dynamite.
Story.
Yeah, wait, Greg, you want us to come up with an idea for a movie?
Yeah, come up with an idea for a movie that is not a sequel or a remake.
Hmm. Okay, how about this? I go on a lot of yoga retreats. How about a slasher at a yoga retreat?
We've seen
one
that before.
One by one.
At a yoga, it would be down. Interesting at a yoga retreat, but though.
Chasing around a bunch of men with man buns?
No, a bunch of beautiful women, bunch of really yoga guys. I mean, I think it'd be good. I mean, off the top of my – wait a minute, Greg. Now, in Hollywood, it takes a million years for them to get a project off the ground and to get a good pitch. You want us to do it in a jump
just
ball
like,
question.
Just give me some kind of – yeah, what's wrong with that? This is what jump ball's for, right?
You send out a tweet.
Look, I actually told Jorge beforehand, like, I don't like any of these questions. But well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this one requires too much thought.
Yeah, I mean, if you gave me time, I could think
there,
of something.
Yeah, there are a bunch of, like, you know, biographies ever since they did Rocket Man. And, you know, the Elvis biography is coming out next year with Tom Hanks playing Colonel Tom Parker. That'll be interesting. But
oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember, I know that one.
You know, if you're talking about biographies that are waiting to be done, there's two that I think would be really interesting. And the next one coming out, too, is Kristen Stewart's going to be Diana, Princess of Wales.
I'm going to see that this afternoon. It's called Spencer.
There's never been a biography of John Wooden, a movie about John Wooden. I think that would be interesting.
Oh, I know.
I think that would be boring, John.
I know what a movie would be.
Well, not if you got the Sam Gilbert stuff in there.
I got it. I got it.
You did Dirty John Wooden. Oh, no, that'd be good.
No, I mean the truth.
I got the movie. Truth. I got the movie, boys. Science fiction. It's not really science fiction because it's actually going to happen in 4 billion years. But all of a sudden, instead of 4 billion years from now, something speeds up the collision between the Milky Way galaxy and the Andromeda galaxy. It's actually going to happen in 4 billion years, and we two galaxies colliding in the next, say, a couple of months. No? And we're going to either burn up.
Who
and
are
all
the
these
characters?
Stars.
I mean, is it the galaxies or characters?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're coming together, and we got to figure out how are we going to get out of the Milky Way galaxy to save Earth, right? Doesn't that kind
of
cool?
Sort of a,
that's
yeah,
too deep for me.
It's heavy, man.
Unless
that's actually going to happen in 4 billion years.
How are you going to get the girls in bikinis into that movie?
Well, they don't have to be cute like kind of in that movie Passengers when the guy woke up.
Yeah,
girl.
But they'll all be in spacesuits.
Well, yeah, that's true. Tight spacesuits though, like spandex suits.
Hey, John, do you think we can make a movie about my pistachio tweet?
Ooh. Oh. Los pistachios, yeah. What'd you say?
That idea is stupider than the original
that
tweet.
It's real dumb. It's yeah. a real dumb idea. Yeah.
You guys have no
imagination. I think a movie about us would be good.
Who's going to play you, Mace? George Clooney?
David Schwimmer should play Mace.
Yeah.
And Will Arnett should play me.
Clooney should play Mace. He's got the silver hair.
Yeah, Clooney is really.
And Jim Carrey will play you, Ireland. You guys kind of look alike.
That's true.
Who's going to play
Carrey's
Jorge?
Good.
George Lopez will play Jorge.
Yeah, right. Yeah, George Lopez could play Jorge.
Just grab a
Jorge will want Mario Lopez to play him, the cute guy. Who's going to play Bergman? Oh, I know who'll play Bergman.
Oh,
Ben Stiller.
Oh, Ben Stiller's a really good choice. Boy, that's right. A blockbuster.
And you know who played me? Rick Fox.
Yeah, Rick Fox.
DeAndre Ayton.
No, Rick Fox on The Rock. They'll play me. Who's going to play Amanda? How about Melissa McCarthy?
Talking about?
Well, she's tough.
Melissa McCarthy.
Okay, how about
No. That okay, is... did you guys ever see Mace?
What Reese was Witherspoon.
Witherspoon, yeah.
No, what was the name of that movie where it was a Beatles movie? I think it was called Yesterday.
Yes.
Where a guy woke up in a world where no one had ever heard of the Beatles except him.
Yes, it's a good movie.
Kate McKinnon plays his manager in that, and she just yells at everybody. That's who needs to play Amanda.
Yeah, she'd be
Kate
great.
McKinnon from SNL.
That's in right. fairness, Amanda, at least to date, has not yelled at me.
Salma Hayek could
she's
play.
She's no Neil O'Shea.
Salma Hayek
listen,
could be
what
Laura.
Are you talking about?
You think she's
when Amanda produced our show, all she did was yell at us.
Oh, that's true. She did. And I did hang up on that one Zoom call we had.
Yeah, but I mean, are you
trying
to kiss ass or something?
I hung up on that Zoom call.
Amanda never yelled at me. She spent like 2 years doing that thing.
We had a Zoom meeting. When was that? Like a year ago or something. Amanda popped on and we were all on there and she said a bunch of stuff. And I was like, I'm out of here. And I just closed my computer.
No, you said, is this done? And then she said yes. And then you closed it. You just didn't say bye.
You guys kept talking.
No, we talked.
No, we kept the meeting going for another 10 minutes talking about how you were a hothead.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Ireland, I did my Laker, what was that, the office protocol thing today? I did that today, finally.
The health thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm very proud of you. Yeah. I didn't think you could. The health thing or the sexual harassment thing?
Sexual harassment thing. Oh, and the harassment thing. It is
all right.
How you treat
employees. I'm glad we're getting an inside look at
all Laker employees are required to go through training, online training.
Sure, sure.
And then, Michael, and you couldn't cheat on this because you had to spend a certain amount of time on each one.
Exactly. You had to sit there.
I'm proud of you. I didn't even think you could figure that out.
Well, I didn't want my bosses to come yelling at me.
There you go. Now, did you do your health app, the one where you have to answer the questions?
Oh, not yet. They got to put it on my phone.
Yeah, okay. That'll never happen.
All right. hey, coming up for you, don't forget, Lie of the Day is coming up at 3:30. It is Million Dollar Monday. It's not just any lie. It's a million dollar lie. And we'll do that at 3:30. If you think you know the lie, you want to be calling then at 3:30 with your guests, and you can win Rams tickets plus a Vote for Jorge t-shirt as we try to crown the producer of the year here at 710 ESPN, and you get a crack at $1 million. That's
by the way, is it
today.
True, Michael, that you are supporting Laura and not Jorge for producer of the year?
I'll explain when we come back.
Okay. Oh, wow. That is a blow to Jorge's campaign.
Right.
All right, John. And we'll get to the terrible, awful night for the Rams and the terrible, awful night for the Lakers. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.